Don't believe in chemtrails. I don't live in Trutherville. Just because you saw it on the screen doesn't make it real. I don't take the red pill. I don't take the blue pill. I just choose to follow my dreams out of hooks and chills. I step off the world stage and I've moved away from all the fake outrage and the hearsay. And I don't give the time of day to those who they say, cause they got a bad case of the mind age. I stuck away from middle game entirely. I won't be caught up in the lame dichotomy. I stepped away from the cage entirely. I'm free today and my mind's been saved by reading autoboxology. Out of the control system finally. I know where to go if you follow me. Cause I've been reading autoboxology. Nothing can bother me. Autoboxology. Won't put the screen before this blast for me. And won't become another mind war casualty. I came up out the realm of possibility to take the helm of this reality. Cause I've been chilling reading autoboxology. Rejecting all the expectations of the auto believer. To become a new creation on the raft of receivers. Standing on the sword of truth. Stop the facts of deceivers. Demanding burdens and the proof from all the hacks and believers. I stepped away from the new game entirely. I won't be caught up in the lame dichotomy. I stepped away from the cage entirely. I'm free today and my mind's been saved by reading autoboxology. Out of the control system finally. I know where to go if you follow me. Cause I don't need an autoboxology. Nothing can bother me. Autoboxology. Won't put the screen before it's blasphemy. I won't become another mind war casualty. I came up out the realm of possibility to take the helm of this reality. I've been chilling reading autoboxology. Suspending all the judgment. You won't get a reaction. Won't defend it. I won't budge until I get all the facts in. I will argue with the boss about the next current thinker. Crying over the fake bodies like a bitter death cleaner. Autoboxology. Autoboxology, nothing can bother me. Autoboxology, I've been reading autoboxology. That's my philosophy.
All right, what a great song. It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show. We're having an IPS joint broadcast, and I have Tim Osman on. Tim Osman of IPS.Monster, Infinite Plane Radio, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again.
And oh, great. The
song is fantastic. I caught some lyrics that I hadn't really heard before. I clearly heard the phrase, they have a bad case of mind AIDS. Mind AIDS is one of these memes that I think really needs to get out there to explain the state of this philosophical crisis that we're living through today, where everybody believes every single mind virus they catch.
Who is this symbiote? Because actually I grabbed that off of, where'd I grab that off, YouTube or SoundCloud? And then it was deleted off SoundCloud when I went back to it, I think. Who is this mysterious symbiote? I hear you talk about her in your chat.
Yeah, Symbiote is a regular contributor to the chat who's also produced a great deal of Penguinati art and music specifically connected to this channel and has for some time. You might remember the song COVID Cooties.
Great song.
Yep.
Great song.
And Autoboxology is the latest one. And this one, lyrically and otherwise, completely encapsulates not just the concept here, but the peace of mind. You know, this isn't like Rage Against the Machine type music. It's actually quite chill, which is what I think skepticism really promotes.
Yeah, she's awesome. Have you interviewed her?
I haven't done a formal interview, but I'd like to. We met a couple of times. She was at the Mad Mike Exit the Matrix conference and a couple of other places we've crossed paths, but absolutely, I'd like to. And if you have any questions, in fact, maybe you can get an interview. I'll take a look and see if she's interested.
Yeah. Well, that's really super creative what she's doing. And I like the whatever she's playing there. I guess it's a guitar, electric guitar. It just sounds great. And yeah, her lyrics are great. I posted her lyrics. I guess I got them off SoundCloud, off her site there, and put them up on fakeologist.blog. So yeah, great lyrics, well thought out. And she's obviously fully on board the IPS auto hoaxology.
Well, look, this is when it started was in 2020, that empty hospital thing. You know, we were like, what's going on? And one day we're on live streams and she's live streaming and she's out there driving past all these hospitals and these testing centers. And it was like, look, there's nothing going on here, unlike on TV. And then after that, we had COVID Cooties come out, which is a song that we were trying to take the power out of the idol they created with the COVID symbol, where it's a scary, spiky ball. And if you look at the video, COVID Cooties, we put these cute emoji faces on this, which is a form of, in a way, we were, again, taking the power out of the meme, de-terrorizing it.
Yeah, COVID Cooties, you played that a lot. I thought that's a great song as well. I think I put it up somewhere on my FakoTube channel. If I don't have it, I'm gonna have to put it up there. Yeah, I can't find it. COVID Cooties. So I don't have it, but I'm gonna have to grab it. So that's another great one. Very similar sounding, but really to the point. And yeah, so that's fantastic.
Well,
Well,
in fact, Symbia's in chat says, I had an alternate take of the song on SoundCloud. I can put it back up. So we'll get those links to you. So when this live stream is over and you proliferate it, people can get the links.
okay, here it is. Here I do have. I had to type in the word cooties because COVID shows up too much on FakoTube. So could I had so cooties is what it was. So only 211 views. That's no good. When did I put that up? 4 years ago. Wow. Can you believe it's been 4 years since the COVID operation?
It's insane, but it's been an education if you've done it right. You know, a lot of people run in circles chasing controlled op and maybe miss the bigger picture. But I'd like to think that we have advanced in our understanding of what media is and we're less triggerable than we were a few years ago. But I don't feel the same for the masses. There hasn't been a mass awakening. But I think those of us who've already figured things out to this degree have sharpened our perspectives.
I'm wondering if we're getting cross chat here because I don't see your chat popping up in the restream here. Normally, your stuff is there. I'm wondering what's happening with the chat because usually your chat's flying by at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I can see my chat. I'm wondering why it's not merged.
Yeah, I can't see your chat today. Usually we have no technical issues, but Restream annoyingly is constantly changing stuff without letting people know. And I couldn't even barely get my own Restream this week because they changed the event window. I know you're a really technical guy, so I know this probably aggravates you too.
Oh yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, I can relay some of the comments,
Yeah,
but
I can't see anything. Yeah, that's too bad. Because normally I respond to some of your comments, but I put all the comments on the live stream, but they're only my comments, which aren't that many compared to yours, I guess.
I'm going to try something here.
Yeah.
I may be able to do something here. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, you're a technical guy. I'm sure you can get it. So we're on my YouTube. We are on my X. We are on my D Live. We are on. Well, I think I'm on BitChute, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not on BitChute. I have to test that again. And of course, we're on FakoTube.com. And we're also on Infinite Plane Society's YouTube channel, his Twitch, his D Live, his X. And as far as I know, that's all. And we're also streaming on my audio, shortfake.com/stream1. And Tim has. Leo Pirate's now coming through. Wait, Leo Pirate, I don't know what channel he's on. Maybe he's on yours. And we're also on Tim Osmond's audio streams. Tim Osmond's on radio.net, Paranormal Radio, and TuneIn. And b before the broadcast, we were talking about it. I'm going to try and get Fakeologist audio chat on all those audio streaming services, lest anyone can be found. And come over to the auto hoaxology way of thinking. So yeah, and I'm also on Discord. My Discord bot is working, but I'm just not getting the Tim Osmond comments. But we're seeing the numbers go way up. Your comments aren't coming through.
Yeah, that's really strange. We've got gremlins. They've somehow cut the wires or they chewed through something because they're not being relayed. And I reset the bot, so maybe that'll fix it. But yeah, this is obviously some kind of gremlin in the works tampering with
I
the.
think it's a restream issue. It's a restream issue. So I'm a little behind. I'm a patron of IPS. Everyone should be a patron of IPS or some or donate somehow. Keep independent media going. And I'm a little behind some of your audios, but the latest one I was watching, and you used to post every day, actually. I notice you accumulate now and post. Is that a new tactic?
No, it's me running uphill. I have to really work to get time in the office because of the chaos outside of the office. So if I can, I mean, I'm trying to get back to the 24/7 live stream, and it should happen soon. In about a month, things should be more settled where I am, and I'll be back because I'm recording every day. We're live every day, but the archives are difficult to maintain, and I'm working on it though.
Yeah, lest anyone realize, for every hour that you do production, you have to spend at least an hour producing it and putting it online. So any one man show, and I believe Tim Osman's a one man show, it's a lot of work. So
Yes.
don't discount the effort being put in by any broadcaster, myself or anyone else included. It's if you don't have a producer, and I don't, I have a little assistance here and there, but overall I do all the production myself and it's a lot of work. So hats off, and you guys out there need to support independent media because no one will.
If I had a producer, I would be able to outsource quite a lot. And I'm trying to leverage what I can out of what's like AI, for example, or there's got to be some kind of solutions out there that can automate more of this. And I do want to get the 24/7 stream back up, but it's a little tricky with Odyssey. I've just technical stuff, nothing major, but these are things that will be overcome as far as hurdles go. So I'm not too worried, but soon we'll be back on 24/7, going back years into the archives and finding relevant content. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
I might have to leverage some of these outsourcing companies. You know that most major corporations in North America outsource everything that they can online to overseas, including all the telephone companies use a call center in Manila, and I think they pay a tenth of what is paid over here. So maybe time to outsource some of the grunt work behind the production to get the word out, to get comments, to fluff the comment sections, that kind of thing. May as well fight fire with the fire they're using.
Oh, agreed. And as far as outsourcing goes, I'm having a bit of a conference here, a Zoom conference next month. And there will be some people here live. I'm calling it Auto Hoax Con. And I just hired a cinematographer. We're going to make it the subject of a documentary. And I do think
Wow.
that you have to get into where they are, into their space. They, as in the worldview fakers. And so I think we have to be involved in video and above ground. We can't just be on the margins of the internet where they can safely just keep us to the side, out of sight, out of mind. So in order to be in sight and in mind, we have to do things above ground. And so the first Auto Hoax Con is late September on the 28th. And the idea here is this is not a conspiracy theorist conference, but it's a conference that is specifically from the perspective of those of us who recognize how much fakery is involved in media itself and what it means, big picture wise.
Okay, I'm going to put that up on the screen here. So this is something new. Okay. Well, so you're hosting it live
Yes, I'm
or
hosting it here.
on
I have
Zoom?
a here, it'll be both. It'll be live and I will have it in Zoom and it will be recorded professionally, but then I'll have the Zoom for Q&A and remote. And I will have some live guests specifically because of, related to the topics we'll be getting into here. But this is going to be like the template. And depending on how well it goes, I'd like to do these things quarterly. But I think there needs to be some conference representation for media fakery because every other conference out there just takes for granted that everyone still buys into all the truth or orthodoxies. And I want to move past that. This isn't a grift, this isn't a target market, but rather, this is a think tank, and we're trying to bring more people into it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I noticed you've been doing video now. Is this a deliberate action? Because I noticed you were speaking about that you think you have to show your face now. Is that a...
I started off with video. That's how I grew my channel from 0 to 6,000 when it first started. The only reason I stopped was the person I'm suing was taking my video content by flagging it, claiming to be me. So I had this impersonator with YouTube's aid who made it impossible for me to own my own content. And now that that's been mostly dealt with, I can return to that. And it is a way to reach more people just because it's such a visual medium.
Okay, well, so this is a big deal. So do you know who's going to be there at Auto Hoax Con number one?
As far as remote hosts, that's still open. And one of the things I'm doing with the itinerary is, you know, I have a set number of topics and the time devoted to each Q&A or debates, but I want to have some remote speakers. So, for example, if you wanted the floor for 45 minutes with a prepared talk exposing, you know, fakeology and basically your entire picture, I just schedule you in, you show up in Zoom. It doesn't have to be video. You can just have your avatar. But yeah, I'm planning on having a couple of remote speakers and possibly somebody local who can advocate on behalf of a couple of different topics, Q, Mandela effect, chemtrails, etc.
That's a Saturday. Okay. Maybe I can do that. We'll check it out. Sounds interesting.
And if not, I'm thinking if not, I'd be happy to like pre-record an interview with you and then broadcast it on that day. So that's one of the things I'm working on is pre-recorded content as far as intro, segues, and interviews that maybe the person can't coordinate. And just to eliminate any technical errors or dead air.
That's a good idea. So you're actually going to have people into your office? Is that a fit?
Yeah, well, I have a conference room open to me here. And I'm inviting a couple local media. Someone's a local journalist and one at the university. Great. And I'm inviting them knowing they're probably going to get really mad at what I'm saying. But that's the whole point.
Oh, interesting. Well, you have nothing but good news. So why would people be mad, I guess?
I know. Isn't that wild?
Like, yeah, nobody dies. So people want people to die, I guess, in all these events. That's the only way they can accept them.
I can understand normies getting mad, but truthers getting mad. We have a term for them. It's mentioned in that song, Auto-Hoaxology, bitter death clingers. The death clingers. If they're stuck on the idea that somebody had to have died, they're going to be stuck on the wrong side of the screen. It's taking media too literal. And one more thing, too. There's a straw man argument I hear where they say, oh, you guys are just calling everything fake. Nothing could be further from the truth.
No, we don't.
We are saying if it's an extraordinary claim, we apply a bit of skepticism to it, fake until proven real. But if the news reports the sky is blue or something conventional, something expected happened, I don't look at it for very long. But it's when it's something extraordinary, unexpected, or obviously having all the hallmarks of a hoax, that's when we apply this. So we are not reality denialists whatsoever. And we don't say everything's fake. And it's like the people who say everything's real live in a bubble. The people who say everything's fake, we call them low info non-believers. They're putting themselves into an alternate bubble. And what we're doing here is we're becoming informed about what we don't believe.
Yeah, they are the ones that propagate conspiracy. We try and say, no, that you guys have the conspiracy. You need to prove it. We don't believe it. So we're the realists as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the thing is, this straw man misrepresentation of auto hoaxers isn't new whatsoever. This from the very beginning, they said, you guys just call it all fake. So the purpose for Auto Hoax Con is to redefine the stereotype. And I think that this can clarify quite a lot, and it needs to be clarified in order for it to get the recognition and be taken with the seriousness it deserves. Because anyone who's looking at news media, alt or mainstream, without accounting for psyops or the existence of a false model, they're never going to arrive at the right answers.
Now, our phone lines are open. If you want to call and ask a question of Tim Osmond, now's your big chance. 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. Actually, let me make sure the phone lines are actually open before I say that. And you can call in. And I have Skype at Fakeologist. I'll open up the Skype line right now as well. Hold on a sec. I'll open up all the lines so you guys can call in and say hi. Now's your big chance to ask any question. We'll go for about an hour. That's as much time as is reasonable to ask of somebody, I would say. We can go longer if Tim Osmond agrees, but otherwise we'll go for about an hour. So now's your chance to get your calls in. So I've just opened up the phone line, so make them ring, make them sing, and you can ask any question you want of Tim, as long as it's related to auto hoaxology. That's what we're talking about. And make sure you go to ips.monster. That's Tim's main website, and from there you can get all the links to all his different channels, including Odyssey and the Think Tank, Gilded, and Discord. Where's the main Think Tank, Gilded or Discord?
Gilded is where the best research happens. Discord is where we do voice chats, and we're becoming more and more active there. Especially this conference is where we're organized. We're using Discord to organize most of it, but Gilded is pretty much ground zero, and it's where we tend to throw all of our pieces and pick up patterns. Like, have you picked up the patterns regarding this whole monkey thing?
I haven't really been paying a hell of a lot of attention to monkeypox, but I want to agree, by the way, that we are pattern recognizers. And somebody else mentioned that. I don't know if you watch the YouTuber called probably Alexandra. I think she's really good. I don't know if you've ever had her on. Let me just play this quick video here and see what you think of it. This is right up here.
Public display of these symbols also serves to communicate membership and occultic orders to other elites, akin to a secret handshake that says, "I'm part of your exclusive club." Like Western music, many K-pop music videos and performances incorporate imagery and symbolism reminiscent of trauma programming techniques. Mind control symbols like cages and mirrors, butterflies, eyes, duality, and dissociative states or going insane are recurring themes among the plethora of others in K-pop imagery that have raised eyebrows among researchers and analysts. I get it. Some people who haven't been aware of these types of things for some years might say that it's all just a coincidence. No, it's not. And the people who see it are not crazy. We are just aware of continuously repeating patterns. Psychology Today states, quote, "Pattern recognition, according to IQ test designers, is a key determinant of a person's potential to think logically, verbally, numerically, and spatially. Compared to all mental abilities, pattern recognition is said to have the highest correlation with the so-called general intelligence factor." End quote. So don't let anyone who doesn't look for the deeper meanings or patterns make you feel crazy. This is where things start.
I wanted to play that because I thought that's right up your alley.
Yeah, that's really well done and great points made here, because those who recognize the patterns are correct. There are no coincidences on the world stage. They may not fully understand where they're coming from, but they are there. And when you're constantly told they aren't there, and when you're punished for questioning it, as in you're impugned as being a conspiracy theorist, that, in addition to the gaslighting, is very alienating, and it's designed that way. It's designed to make it cost a lot to go against the grain and go with your perceptions, and that leaves you with defaulting to the screen. And I think that's the crux of the issue here. People's perceptions are not only being bypassed, but they're being augmented with whatever goes through the screen and whatever's approved. So yes, pattern recognizers are generally considered to be ill. They'll say it's apophenia. You're just connecting dots that aren't there to be connected.
12 seconds.
Okay, here's our first caller. Where are you calling from, and what's your name, please? Go ahead, caller-inner. Caller-inner, can you hear us? Caller-inner going once. And call back. Okay. Make sure you have your radio turned down. Some people call in with their radio on, so there is a delay, I believe. It's just like regular radio, so make sure you call in. You can call in on Skype. You can also join join the studio here in Restream. Just go to shortfake.com/Restream, and you can come right into the studio, and we'll talk to you directly. Do you ever invite people directly into the Restream studio when on your show?
No, I may start doing that. I think this is a very effective way to get people in. So let me go ahead and post that link in the chat and see if someone wants to try it. What is the link again?
Yeah, it's shortfake.com/restream. Shortfake.com/restream.
Okay. I post all the link.
Yeah, okay. All my short codes are shortfake.com. And then it's whatever little short code. It's like an AOL keyword.
I see.
So that should work. So I just, it's my own sort of URL shortening service. Everyone should have their own, domains, I would say, in this day of censorship and honeypotting. I notice you're also on BitChute. Is that something old or something new?
Oh, actually with BitChute, you log in once and you connect it to your YouTube channel. So whenever I upload on YouTube, it auto exports to BitChute. I never go there. Most of the people who are there are Hitler fans and they hate me. Yeah. They think I'm Assad or something. I don't even go there for the comments, but I put my videos on BitChute, Infinite Plane Society. They automatically export there.
How long do you have to wait for them to get on there? How long does it take?
It takes them a few days to connect you, but once you're in, it takes about, once it's fully rendered, it pretty much jumps over there.
Okay, I've never tried that before. I usually delete my YouTube videos because I usually get flagged pretty quickly.
I delete them off my main channel. My backup channel where I archive, that is where I
connect
export to BitChute. Yeah, I don't keep my main channel connected because, yeah, I'm constantly pulling videos because obviously that channel is going to be a target. And I'm at this point where I'm monetized and I'm regularly now getting paid.
How do you get monetized?
I applied. First of all, you have to have 1,000 subs or something like that.
Okay.
But you have to have the number of subs first and then you apply.
I don't have that many subs. That's why.
Hold time. Okay. 7 seconds.
Okay, caller. Who's on the line? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Kevin Mooring. I'm calling from Missouri.
Kevin, hello.
I just want to say, Manhunt, the Trump shooter today, it's just timing us up, getting a stage set for the next time they hit T-Man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, some of your audio was clipped, so I missed a lot of the words, but what are you saying? Something? Try one more time.
Hi, buddy. So today we had a manhunt for a guy that was going to take out T-Man, and he was on the loose. And I'm saying that they're setting the stage so everybody knows. But not everybody knows. But they're putting it out there like there's all these people going to try to take out Trump. Already had one shooter, one on the loose today. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it does happen.
Okay, it's a story from 2 hours ago. Okay, 66-year-old Ronald Sivrud. So here we go with the number 66. So let's start looking for patterns. What do you think, Tim Osmond? Is this presidential election the best show on TV right now?
Yes, absolutely. And his name's Ronald, which is probably going to have some significance. Let's see, 66. You know, I seem to recall, and I have to double check this, but I think John Hinckley Jr., who shot Reagan, just celebrated his 66th birthday. Let me double check that.
And he celebrated with the release of another really bad song on YouTube.
He was released. Okay, it's been a few years, so he was released at 66. But no, he's still.
Are you aware that he's now a horrible singer on YouTube?
Oh yeah, I think he should be locked up for that, not for shooting Reagan.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Okay, so this yeah, go ahead.
You guys me. Ronald is trying to take out Donald.
Ronald and Donald. I'm waiting for Ronald McDonald to show up at this point. But yeah, I get it.
That comes in October when Joker 2 comes out. The Joker is coming out. That's Ronald McDonald.
Oh, right. And I wanted to say that Tim Osmond, your latest show that I started to watch, is doing some great work regarding the horrible actor Robert De Niro. I watched Taxi Driver for the first time because my daughter had to do that for film studies. It's an absolutely horrible movie. And I did sit through it. It's terrible. So I do see the themes. But I would never willingly watch that movie again.
No, I happen to agree, but it's undeniable that Robert De Niro, in his predictive programming capacity, has represented this Trump and the assassination of Trump in both roles multiple times as Trump for decades. I mean, at least more than 10 years, since 2010 and before. So, no, there's no doubt there's a correlation here. And then you get into John Hinckley literally being inspired by De Niro to shoot Reagan. It's like, no, this is story time. The whole thing is fake.
Yeah. Anything else, Kevin? I got another call coming in.
I just want to add this. The De Niro take, he was back in the news this week because they banned him from Twitter for making threats.
Right.
Great show.
Yeah, Tim Osmond mentioned that. Thank you very much. Thanks you so much. And here,
hold time. 1 minute. Here comes 41 seconds.
Here comes another caller in there. Hi, caller. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hey, psychologist, Andy from Menifee / tow truck driver.
Andy from Menifee. Yeah, you're an IPS caller. I recognize you. Hello.
Yeah, I was just calling to say hi to the two best shows on the internet.
Oh, thank you.
Psychologist and Tim Osmond. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and say hi and give you guys props. Keep up the good work. I was just listening to a 6-minute. I had nothing to listen to, so I was listening to a 6-minute video of Alex Jones just for laughs.
Yeah, you got to. You got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, he's like the deep state is gonna attempt to take out Trump, and now they're gonna attempt to take him out again, and they're gonna blame it on Iran, and then they're gonna attack Iran, and then they're gonna further take away our liberties.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was funny. It's like a B-rate movie. I was talking to Tim about that. They need to step up their production because it's lacking.
Yeah, I don't know how you can. It must be hard to listen to Alex Jones. I don't do it anymore. I can only hear about him from other people, but I can't be directly listening to him. He's very bad for your health.
Yeah. I don't really listen to him. I just thought I'd listen to a 6-minute clip for some laughs.
Yeah, that's really old school truth, isn't it? Alex Jones, he really hasn't moved on to. He really should be deep into auto hoaxology right now if he was going to be considered relevant.
Well, I'm of the opinion that, like, I've adopted Infinite Planes terms, Trutherville and Woketown. I think they're hilarious designations. And in my opinion, I wouldn't even call Alex Jones Trutherville. I am fairly confident that he is in bed with the Metascripters, especially his involvement with the January 6th production. For sure. I'm pretty sure. Like, I would bet money that he's up there with the
Well, he was there. He was marching around. So, yeah, he was a big part of January 6th production.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Add on to it, too, Waco. Like, he started in Waco. So what does that tell you? He started building Dave Koresh's church back after it was burned by the ATF. And that was for 1.6 million rounds that they weren't supposed to have. So the 1.6 was already encoded into Jones's character way back then.
Yeah, that's true. Waco birthed the boy. Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, before I let you guys go, Infinite, I wanted to throw something out, how you've been really putting together all this concurrent programming and predictive programming about the monkeys. I don't know if you ever heard of a movie called 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about this virus that wipes out mankind. And they got to go live underground because the virus is so deadly and it's invisible and you can't see it. Like, there's a scene where he goes to the airport and the guy's like, oh, it doesn't look like he's anything there. And the guy's like, oh, I assure you it's there. Like, I think that's more.
The one eye symbolism, too. Because, see, here's my thing, and see if you agree. I happen to think that the monkey virus is all code for the incoming rage virus that's going to infect the right. And it's going to happen after the Trump thing. So I'm seeing this on 12 Monkeys. It even has the one eye symbol, the one eye highlighted, just like the Terminator. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have a list. So if Fakeologist, if you haven't heard this, I have a list of about 7 items really quick here This
yeah,
is
where are they? Are they online
okay.
somewhere?
Yeah, I posted them on timosmond.blog. It's Monkey God in the Metascript. But okay. just really short, 8/14, yeah. monkeypox is declared an emergency by the WHO. 8/14, the movie Bad Monkeys released. And then you have a 90-foot statue of the monkey god erected in Houston. And then you have a video game called Black Myth Wukong, where you play the monkey god, and it had a record-breaking 1 million people playing at the same time. So it's a million people playing the monkey god as a 90-foot statue goes up, as a movie Bad Monkey comes out, and the monkeypox is declared. And this is against the backdrop of several other major movie productions that all have the theme, like Return of Planet of the Apes. So right now, there's a lot of monkey being pushed
there's
into the memosphere.
Wow, you're so far ahead of me on these topics. So
yeah,
so
there's a lot of monkey business going on.
Oh, the monkey memes and the monkey play on words are going to be off the charts. Yeah, this is interesting. Really, are we going to have a monkey elected on November whatever 3rd or 4th or 5th, whatever election day is?
Might as well.
Yeah, may as well. Huh? Wow, that's a lot. What's Bad Monkey? Is that some kind of
Vince Vaughn movie?
It's a Vince Vaughn movie. Vince Vaughn movie.
But probably it came out on 8/14 on the exact day the WHO declares this monkey virus. And there's a deeper connection because the movie Civil War, which recently came out, has the same director as 28 Days Later about a rage virus that comes from chimps. So I'm connecting here the rage virus, mind virus concept to the monkeypox, that this is all just a metaphoric way of describing what's going to be political violence.
Well, is this an AI generated image you put up here?
Yeah, I definitely
that's creepy. Okay, thanks Andy the tow truck driver. We got another call coming in.
You guys have a very good night. I'll catch you later.
All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate
it. Hold time 17.
All right, later.
All right. All right, next caller, where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, it's Diana South. I'm calling from Montana.
Hey, welcome to the show, Diana South. Say hi to Tim Osmond.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, thank you for calling. Really thank you for calling.
Enjoy your guys' work. Hey, the reason that I call, how we always have these Metascripts always playing out in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And I get kind of annoyed because I am probably of the very small minority of people that believe that everything in the Bible has already happened.
Okay.
So what they've done is they've taken the script of the Bible, and then they have, over the past 150 or so years, really changed the way that people believed. I actually believe Jesus already came back on the second coming in 70 AD. All of these things have all been fulfilled. And when people talk about the number 666, it's like 666. And at the time, the people back then would use the names like in gematria type of symbol. And it was well known to the people of the time that number stood for Nero, and his name was something like Nero Caesarea or whatever it was. So, and so it gets kind of annoying because what really is happening is so many people are either waiting to be raptured, raptured from responsibility. I mean, I can't imagine if our forefathers thought, oh yeah, this is the end. It's all going to come down and it's all going to end in a fiery ball and blah, blah, blah. So people throughout time have just been coerced into wrong believing when these people had kind of infiltrated all the schools and education, including the Bible colleges. And so I get kind of annoyed when I continuously hear people spew a bunch of stuff that isn't even written in the Bible. Oh, gonna get a head wound, gonna get this. So the beast of the sea was actually, you know, like the Roman army coming across the Mediterranean. And the reason why the head wound was that the Romans had come, and I believe that the general's name was Vespasian or something. He was there destroying Jerusalem between 67 and 70 AD. For 3.5 years, they completely destroyed and demolished everything, including the birth records and the temple and everything. And so when he heard of, you know, some that what's his name had committed suicide, Nero, he made his way back there and helped to so that Rome at that time would not fall. So it was all of these things have been recorded in the writings of Josephus, and I understand that it's kind of long-winded, but so I just want to put my other two cents in.
Okay. Those names that you brought up, just I heard them when I talked to Joseph Atwell about Caesar's Messiah. So stories he brings up. I don't really understand it because I don't know it very well, but I just thought I'd bring that up. Are you aware of Joseph Atwell and Caesar's Messiah?
I don't know. And he, what was the hallelujah chorus of the music, the Messiah? I forgot what the name of that was. It's a Handel's Messiah.
Okay.
Handel's Messiah. And it's all, that's all been premised on Revelation 11, where they're basically talking about the whole entire destruction of Jerusalem and the old covenant. And so for those that believe in Christ, we are already in the new covenant. All of, like, we don't need another temple. Christians believe that their body is the temple.
Yeah.
There will be no third temple built in a land owned and operated by whoever, started apparently by the Rothschilds. And so people are continuously just led astray, eating their popcorn. They say they, you know these Bible things, but they've never actually done any research. And they take the word of other people, you know, which isn't at all accurate historically. So that's my beef.
Tim, do you get into this religious discussion at all? Because I don't usually hear anything.
Basically, though, the meta script they've given us, the storyline about our future, a lot of it's based on what I call nasatology. It's our science fiction future, but it's templated off of older myths, older motifs and stories. And I call it syncretic storytelling. So, for example, the Old Testament story of the flood and Noah's Ark has been brought back as a real living myth, ongoing story with the climate change. And the group that works with NASA, a group of scientists that tell us all about the flood that's coming if we don't restrict our carbon footprints, their symbol's a dove and they're called Noah. So you can find clear examples of where they've taken older stories and they've superimposed them in our modern day script. And so I call it syncretic storytelling.
Well, now, Diana, you've been listening a long time. I think I've seen you in the chat at Tim Osmond's many times. How did you come to this kind of thinking and this kind of radio? What makes it interesting to you?
Well, first of all, I never wanted to like be a person that studied the Bible. And about 12 years ago, I had a very life-changing experience. And since then, you know, I've studied it great in depth, even reading in these old things. And so in my curiosity and just poking around here and there, always trying to, you know, expand my thinking and not always having to stay in this little box that I'm told how to believe, I happened to run across Tim's program, and I had called in, I don't know, it's more than a year ago, and we had talked about my experience when I lived and worked in Chicago, where they had closed down the hospital of 660 beds where I worked, and they left about 66 beds open, and they would be on the news saying that they were full to capacity. And I wanted just to affirm somebody that, yes, it is true. This actually did go on. And as far as these riots and things that get started, I think they start off on a, you know, they're they're staged, unlike the event with which happened with George Floyd.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, because people are very easily agitated, all you need are a couple people here and a couple people there to kind of guide those who want to get out on the street and let off some steam. And so next thing you know, I think they actually happen then organically in these other places, because I personally witnessed and took CAT scans of people that got their faces bashed in with bricks, and young women with their teeth broken and jaws broken by these demons, cops that got ran over by cars. And so in that frenzy, you know, people just, they all like join into the chaos because they love it so. They're tired sitting behind their joystick and playing games, you know.
It's just like the Joker movie, huh?
Yeah, they want to be part of the action. And, you know, if there's something insane and crazy, you're going to go out and loot the Nike store or the Whole Foods store or whatever. You know what? They tend to have the hive mind, and they will just group together like a congress of baboons.
Wow.
So,
keeping with the monkey theme, well tied in there. I appreciate that, Diana.
Well, I don't pronounce it monkey. I call it money pox because believe the K is silent.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. That's very good.
Well, I think you bring up a valid point here with the... You met the analogy of baboons or apes, and we're talking about hive-like behavior, where our higher mind is overridden by something else, and now we're just bestial, fighting for the very basic stuff, and it's very, you know, primal, primitive. And that's all, I think, intentional, and they're trying to get us synchronized. And I think this monkeypox thing might be some kind of foreshadowing for exactly that, like mass mob violence, which is one of the main weapons of the power elite, is at any time they can press a button and turn on the hive mind and we will basically devour each other. It's one of their main weapons that they hold against us. It's the power of the many against the individual.
I totally agree with that statement. And, you know, once the frenzy starts, people want to just go out and let off some steam. And next, you know, they're like charged. You get that endorphins going, and you know, you go a lot further than you think you might, you know, when you're in a situation, not you personally, but people as a whole, they're in the group together.
They're dangerous.
If you were like five protesters out on the street with a couple of posters, right? You're not going to get very far. But if you had 50 people, and more people are then more likely to join in, and then it just sort of grows, you know, just like that, because deep down we want to do something, we want to change it, and we want it to be like how we envision our perfect world. So and that looks so different for different people, and certain groups of people tend to all get pushed one direction or pushed the another direction, and they fall right into it. So like a trap.
Yes. There's a really good book on this about the, I think it's called The Crowd. It's like studying the psychology of crowds, and it goes into group psychology and how crowd behavior, how it's instigated, and there's a science to it, and they engineer these crowds by programming people to have certain attitudes and emotions. And I think there's a schism in our political realm that is maintained by design. It's not ever meant to reconcile or get us to agree, but rather the purpose of it is to make it so that at any time they can light a fuse and one side is ready to blow up. Like it's a formula at this point.
Agreed. And our Constitution was really made for a moral and upright people, and it can serve no other. And our founders never wanted it to break down to a two-party system, because there is no such thing in our founding documents. So we've devolved, de-evolved. I'm guess would kind of be the word. And because people sort of like being known for being in this tribe or that tribe, that's it's so easily to separate that way. However, both of these sides don't realize that they're all being funneled into the same sausage grinder.
Tim, I'm just trying to get our chats interlinked. I've got tech support while Diana there is talking, and he just suggests I'm trying to get the chats to show up, so we're doing a little troubleshooting. So Tim, if I could send you a link in the private chat here.
Okay. Yeah, and this has been great that we have had, and thanks for calling again, Diana, because even though the chat hasn't been fully intact tonight, we've had a lot of great calls so far.
Yeah.
I was listening on DLive, and I had tried typing in, you know, hello and hi, and I didn't see it come up in that restream bot.
Yeah, there's something wrong with their end, so they're trying to fix it. And I see. He wants me to toggle the relay mode. So if you could do the same, Tim, that would be great. I gave you the link. So if he wants you to toggle the relay mode on and off.
Got it. I did try that a little while ago.
Oh, you
and
did?
I think one of my channels may have gone through, but I'm doing it again just in case. Hey, it looks like we've been joined by Lynn, Cygirl.
Oh, Lynn's in the... Oh, wait. Hold on a sec. I'll get her going here. Oh, she in your chat or my chat?
She's in mine at the moment. Hopefully they join soon.
Oh, she's in your studio? Because she's not in my studio.
Let's see what we have here. Oh, I want to say thanks to David Hazel. He's handed out a number of YouTube memberships. So when you get monetized on YouTube, you can do a paywall. And I have one where I upload videos.
Yeah, I hear you talk about that all the time. What does that mean?
It means that some videos you can only watch if you're a member of the YouTube channel. And as a member, you have a little penguin avatar and you get premier access or early access to content or paywalled content. And they pay $1 a month, basically. Or somebody else provides a gift membership and pays for them to be members, which is what David Hazel does, which others have done. Which means that a lot of people who may not have purchased memberships can see behind the paywall and they may join. So this is a way of getting people who would never encounter Patreon or my website, and it brings them into the fold in the same exact way.
Well, that's awesome. If I could ask your very large listenership to go to my YouTube channel at shortfake.com/YouTube and just subscribe. Because I'm not even near 1,000, and I've had that channel for a long time. And if they could bump that over 1,000, then I could monetize too. Or you could just go to fakeologist.com/donate, because I really don't like splitting money with Google as much as I like the company. Because I think you give up, what, 30%?
Yeah, it's a deal with the devil, but...
Yeah, that's true.
It's just what it is. It's just too dominant of a commons to not be a part of it. And even though they are definitely not interested in having us here, they are profiting off of us even putting our content. So we may as well get a cut. And it does allow a lot of people who wouldn't have found us otherwise to find us. So I'm back in, and I'm just treating this channel carefully, but I expect to stay here. My channel is called @InfinitePlaneSociety.
I think they take 33%.
Oh, of course. Okay, it's shortfake.com/YouTube3. That's my channel. Did you try that refresh link, Tim? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did try it, and so far it hasn't occurred yet. But just to give you a count, though, we have about 115 people on my YouTube channel and Twitch combined, and then there's more in the audio I don't have the count on, but... probably over 130. So I would say people, you said shortfake.com/YouTube3. Okay,
that's
I have
my
that
YouTube
link.
Channel. So please, just even if you don't want to watch my stuff, just subscribe to get me over 1,000. That would be great. I have 427 subscribers and no videos. I usually delete the videos. But if someone could go over there and true earth, I guess he's on my channel. He says, great callers. Yeah. Great callers. Diana, you got anything else before I let you go?
That's all I can think of now. I just want to thank you guys because you know what? I'm going to turn 60 years old soon. And I'm like, finally, people that will think and live outside the box. I'm so grateful to know that you're out here. So keep up the good work, you guys. All right.
You enjoy your evening. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks.
When I hit 60 in a few years, I'm going to retire and I'll just leave the phones open at night and do an overnight call in show, I think. I think I want to bring Larry King. I want to bring Larry King live back from the dead. I'll be Fakeologist King live or something.
No, use the King first. King Fakeologist.
Yeah, that's a little too.
All right. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Be blessed, as Dave J said. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Actually, when you were, I think, Tim, you were on one of your broadcasts in the last couple of weeks talking about Gerald Ford, and his real name is Leslie King or something.
Leslie King Lynch.
Yeah. And that the main thing I took from that, not only the King and all those associations that you and what's his name were bringing up? I forget the guy's name right now.
Leslie Lynch King. But yes.
The King of Lynching. It just reminded me, none of these presidents use their real names, of course. And that's more proof. They just use pseudonyms. That way they can do whatever they want because they're just actors. And they tell you they're actors. So,
yeah, and let's throw this out there just for anyone who might have missed that talk. Gerald Ford was giving a talk at the Herbert Hoover Library. And Herbert Hoover has the death date. October 20th was his death date. And on the day he dies, Kamala Harris is born. And the reason why this is significant is that Gerald Ford was talking about how the first female president would be a vice president who ascends after the male president dies. So again, Herbert Hoover Library, he dies October 20th, 1964, which happens to be Kamala's birthday. So here he is giving a prophecy in the Hoover Library, and it perfectly lines up with these dates.
Yeah, sometimes I think a lot of these coincidences, if you want to, you might call it scripting, I call it somewhat coincidental. I find some of them are rather tenuous, but you can't deny them. But sometimes I think that the people that are looking for links are trying just a little too hard.
There's a couple of things about that. It is very much possible that if you don't have like a target and you're just grabbing alignments and coincidences, you can make anything look like a hit or a match. Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of people out there who are misapplying this approach. They're using the Texas sharpshooter fallacy and always proving themselves correct in advance of some big event. It never happens. Their methodology is flawed. What we're doing is script analysis, just as if you were watching a movie, analyzing a film. And so these aren't coincidences necessarily, but they're scripted events that are they appear to be mere mm-hmm. coincidences, but they're in fact planned. But in this case, this is one of these ones where it's like, well, are we reaching? Gerald Ford talking about a female president ascending in a certain way in the library, name for the guy whose death date is her birth date. This is like one thing, but then when you look at the significance of birth dates and death dates, it gets to be fairly intricate. Like, for example, John Hinckley Jr. shoots Ronald Reagan, and John Hinckley Jr.'s birthday is JFK's birthday, 529. And when you have a lot of these, you're like, okay, this might actually be a part of their standard operating procedure. And when you consider how much of the cult that runs this place is based on astrology, astrotheology, and the significance of the timing and dates, it makes more sense than not that this would be an indicator of scripting.
I'll play that if you want. There we go.
On October 18th, 1989, in West Branch, Iowa, Gerald Ford, the 38th President of the United States, shared history with students from across Iowa. The visit was part of a conference on the role of
By the way, do you think, because we have, let's see, September, October, We got about 2.5 months. Do you think Biden will quote unquote die?
My basis for saying yes is Fallout, the TV show on Amazon, where there is a scene with Betty Pearson, who is clearly a Kamala stand-in, has some kind of a coup and takes over Vault 33. And I think that's already more or less happened. But it was in the wake of this massacre, and it has this close-up scene of a foosball character that looks like Trump with a red spot of blood on the side of its head, the only spot of blood they forgot to clean. So when I saw that, I said, based on this, if I'm using predictive programming as a model, Trump's going to get some head wound, right side of his head, and then Kamala is going to be the forerunner. So I'm leaning towards yes.
Yeah, because someone said if she becomes president before November, then she'll get the lifetime Secret Service protection. Not that that's should be a reason for why it happens, but I would say that just this President Ford thing, this should be enough programming right here to make it happen. I mean, it's right here in front of us. This is absolutely the most obvious thing. Let me just play this.
More presidents in American society, sponsored by the Herbert Hoover Library and Museum and the Gerald Ford Library and Museum. Here's how these students took advantage of a rare learning opportunity.
Thank you very, very much. It's a very high honor and a very great privilege for me to come to West Branch. And to...
By the way, I kind of like Gerald Ford. I was obviously around when he became president. He's just an old football player. So he's sort of a likable doofus. He was kind of a pre-Biden character. He was always tripping around. I don't know if it's because he had head injuries from being whacked in the head. He probably wore one of those leather helmets that doesn't do anything. But let me just play a bit more.
To participate in this conference, which is being held here at the Hoover facilities.
Mr. Ford, what advice would you give a young lady wanting to become president of the United States?
Well, I hope we do have a young lady at some point become president of the United States. I can tell you how I think it will happen, because it won't happen in the normal course of events. Either the Republican or Democrat political party will nominate a man for president and a woman for vice president. And the woman and man will win. So you'll end up with a president, a male, and a vice president, a female. And in that term of office of the president will die. And the woman will become president under the law or constitution. And once that barrier is broken, from then on, men better be careful. Because they'll have a hard, hard time ever even getting a nomination in the future. But that's the way it's going to happen, and I think it'll probably come sometime in the next 4 or 8 years.
Well, he was off by the time, but okay, 24 or 34 years later, it's yeah, I think it's going to happen.
So we've already talked about that, but then it was brought up recently that the Herbert Hoover Library makes this connection because he dies on the very day that Kamala was born. Not just the date, not the birthday, but the year itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's the most exciting show on Earth, the presidential show. And the whole irony is the president doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of power if you believe in the way that the United States is set up. But they get all the attention. You'd never know there were 50 governors and what, 400 or 500 congressmen. They seem completely irrelevant to the whole system. They really, it's almost like they don't exist.
Well, one quick point in Fly Me to the Moon, which I highly recommend. Did you take a day off to watch that?
No. I watched somebody on Pirate Bay. It was not somebody videoed it with their camera. It wasn't too bad. Even the slot commercials weren't too bad. But okay, I watched it through someone's camera. So it had too many, it was ridiculous. So it was bad.
It was a bad rom-com. I give it that. But it had a couple of things here. One, it made mention of Boeing whenever they had explosions going on, which is, I think, predictive programming. But it also made the point that Nixon was not in the know about the faking of the moon landing, that it's above his pay grade. So it's likely that presidents are still part of the program class and aren't fully apprised of the level of fakery because it might compromise everything.
Well, I agree. It's too dangerous to tell certain people the facts. I agree with that. But Nixon was a really smart guy. And it's hard to believe that even if he wasn't directly told that he would believe it, because he was this is back when I think presidents were pretty intelligent. I think people got a pretty good education back then. And they certainly talked intelligently. And even reviewing the whole Watergate thing, it seems incredible that Nixon even resigned. From what I understand, if you believe numbers, he won the biggest landslide of any president. And then a year or two later, he quits. It's just totally nonsensical.
Well, he was the one who said the American people don't believe anything until they see it on television.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was a smart guy. So for him not to understand that the moon landing was a complete hoax, I just don't believe it. But he was probably never explicitly told that. So it might make it easier to lie if you're not explicitly told, but you can still have your suspicions. So yeah, the Fly Me to the Moon was some pretty overt propaganda and pretty tricky. It was a real mind bender when the way they twisted the story and I can't even explain it well enough to spoil the movie. I'm sure you probably can explain it better, but the way they explain why it was faked and then how the fakery didn't go through because something didn't work. And it was just they made both stories get really tangled. So in your mind, you can't really sort it out.
That was the point. It was convoluted. And I think they made a few inside jokes about how we're making history. Like, in a way, it was almost like if you have a full perspective here and know it's fake, it was like they were telling on themselves about how easy it all is. Mm. And, you know, just tell them it's going to space. They're not going to know. And so there's a number of clues in there, but it was so convoluted that you walk away maybe thinking that they might have faked the moon landing to trick the Russians. It's like they're soft disclosing it in a very soft disclosure kind of way, but they're doing it in a romantic comedy. So nobody gets mad about it.
Yeah, and it'll soak up and absorb all the Google searches or all the searches in general. So it'll leave most people that don't want to put any time into looking into it more confused, and they'll walk away, which is the whole point. If you can't convince, confuse. That's a PSYOPs. That's PSYOPs 101, I think.
Good one. Hey, someone in the chat had asked, how do we super chat fakeologist? Do you have a Ko-fi or some kind of super chat setup?
Well, thanks a lot. Fakeologist.com/donate. So if you go there, every possible way to donate is right there, including Ko-Fi, including Buy Me a Coffee, including Monero, including Bitcoin Lightning. If someone wants Bitcoin Lightning was supposed to be the ultimate micropayment service where you could literally send a penny. So I don't think I've ever got even a penny through this Bitcoin Lightning thing. A lightning is 1/100 millionth of a Bitcoin. So I think that might work out to a penny. I'm not sure. So all the ways to donate are over here. I'd love to get a YouTube super chat because I think it's really super easy to do it. I think you just press a button and the money bangs through. Is that how it works?
Yeah. And it's just a simple fact of sales and closing sales successfully is that the less friction there is, the easier it is, the faster you'll get sales and the more. And, you know, people don't want to jump through hoops, so you have to streamline it. And so I put a link there, fakeologist.com/donate. So anybody who wants to follow you on any of these other platforms.
And I totally agree. The friction, if you have to remove the friction. And I do agree you have to, unfortunately, go to their platforms, go to their commons. And that gives them somewhat of more of a responsibility to manage their commons, which of course is their excuse for censoring anyway. So the more frictionless, the better. I totally agree with you. That's probably why crypto's not catching on. It's too hard to get. It's just, It's literally a couple steps, and that's two steps too many for almost everybody. People yeah. are so deficient. Do you like, I sort out on my email every day. Like I told you, I'm technical support. Just people can't even log on to my website. I have to sort out passwords and resets, and it's hard to believe passwords are so complicated for most people. They just can't handle it.
Yeah, I went with IPS.monster because I don't want to put it on some new person to spell Infinite Plane Society because maybe they don't have enough time. And I understand we're competing with the attention economy, and every microsecond is being competed for by various interests. So we have to make it as streamlined as possible. And one thing too, I think that we should have you on for the AutoHoax Con, whether live or pre-recorded, because what I'm trying to do here is enlarge the audience for this specific branch of media. You could consider us a third branch. You got main, alternative, and media fakery analysts, or we could call perhaps skeptical media. But if we bring in a bigger audience, it'll become much easier for these channels to be supported because we're not trying to get over the noise in all the mainstream venues, but we have to bring our own audience. You know, if you build it, they will come. It's one of those situations.
Okay, well, I'll join. I'll do my best to show up on time. It's a busy day for me Saturdays usually, but maybe we'll do a pre-recorded thing or something. But yeah, I'm in. I'll do my best to show up. I agree. I think cross promotion is really important. And as long as I listen to your show and subscribe to your Patreon, we'll keep doing cross promotion because at least I'm keeping up to date on your research, and it really is groundbreaking. And I know people like to concentrate on all the things that truthers or auto hoaxers disagree on, but there's enough agreement to keep cross promoting. And by the way, while we were talking, I was on the tech support with Restream, as you know, and it's a problem on their end. So I told them for us beta testing their software and helping them, I think we both deserve at least one free month. He didn't get back to me yet, but you know,
yes, absolutely. If they give us a coupon code, we would deserve it for this service because this is helpful for them. But yeah, that would be excellent.
Well, yeah, because I don't think they're testing their software. I don't think anyone tests their software very well. And you're a technical guy like me. And I've never seen any two channels cross Restream before. So we're kind of doing them a favor by getting it where it's a neat feature, by the way. And that's kind of why I like doing these joints, because it is cool to be streaming on both channels at the same time. But I'm really aggravated that the comments didn't crossover. So the only way you can get Tim Osman's comments is you got to go to his channel and look at them. And I don't know if you're displaying them on I guess you can't display them on your screen right now because I'm handling the video. So you'll have to go through just the comments on your YouTube channel. And do you have to, if you delete the YouTube on your channel, move it, do the comments get lost?
I actually keep up a separate window from chat for chat. It's the Restream/chat, and that will it shows all my comments in one place. But you know, in the early days of Restream, they used to give you an embeddable chat module and video, so you could have your chat room posted on any website. They used to be so much better. It's amazing to me how many of these companies, I think that they are deliberately constraining their own capabilities. For purposes of, I'm not sure exactly, but I think that there's some overt controls put in place to prevent spontaneous or established think tanks from just growing outside of the mainstream. They don't want that. They want everybody where they can regulate them. And that's why what we're doing is important, because we're creating a breakaway civilization off world stage, where hopefully at some point we won't be dependent on compliance with any of these platforms, which are all dinosaur media.
Yeah, they're hobbling us. I agree. They're deliberately hobbling us, and they hobbled me this week because they changed their front page and I couldn't find how to make an event and all kinds of things. So it's annoying, but we're going to close out with COVID Cooties by Symbia. And hopefully, Symbia, if you're listening, contact me at fakeologist.com/contact or email me, and maybe you can come on the show. We can talk about your stuff. And Tim Osman, this has been a good show. You're at ips.monster. Everyone needs to stop freeloading and support Tim Osman. If you like independent content, and $5 a month or whatever you charge is absolutely zero. It's almost zero. So everyone can afford that, especially with inflation.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And even though the chats were kind of constrained, we did have a lot of great callers. So appreciate all you callers as well. And we'll do this again soon.
Okay, thanks so much.
Here we go.
Smoke screen.